A young person tries to convince the others in a home that the horrifying experience they just went through was not a prank. It was a full-fledged paranormal experience. But did they believe?
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. We'd absolutely love to hear from you. Of course, you can write in anytime you want to at realghoststoriesonline.com over the holidays. If you're sitting around going, well, what am I going to do? Share that ghost story. Let it out. You can do it anonymously as well. And if you really want more content, you want to binge away on some of our best ghost stories of the year, maybe buy yourself a Christmas present or maybe give the gift of ghosts to someone, you can sign up for a membership and you can gift that membership to someone. Do it at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Both places, same content, all of our bonus episodes, all 330 some of them. You get advanced episodes of the show ad-free. So as we go into our little holiday break, you get some best of for a couple week. If you want new stuff that's already for 2021, you can get all that by being an EPP. You just sign up, like I said, ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Get the full archive as well. You get our ebook, our audiobook, book that there, a $30 value. And if you do an annual membership, you get 1 month free. So lots of perks there. Thank you in advance for all of the support. And it's Tony and Carol joining you on today's episode, which is also the last episode of 2020 before we go into our little Christmas break and New Year's break. And but of course, content will not stop every day. Still best of episodes posting. EPP episodes still new every week. So that doesn't change. But we just it's the one break we've took this year. Honestly, it's just been we've produced more shows this year than any other year.
You've been busy.
Yeah. I mean, we didn't stop for anything. We didn't take any breaks. There was no vacations. And we went 100% through COVID. So I think there may have been like one or two best ofs that have played at all, maybe. But there was no like kind of like we would normally have a bit of a summer break, maybe Easter or something. But we swung through.
You couldn't go anywhere.
Yeah. The whole year, we just kind of just kept going. So, yeah. So that's.
Hey, I did want to mention something.
Yeah.
So the other day on Instagram, I posted a picture of my sheds. Uh-huh. Someone messaged me and wanted to see what the murder shed looked like.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay. So I posted a picture of them. So you can go to Instagram. I'm just Carol Hughes, and you can see the murder shed and my regular shed. But I got some really funny comments, but one person said, where is it? If you fix it up, it could be a she murder shed.
Hey, yeah.
I'm like, I guess a she murder shed would be like a cute little girl place where you murder people. I don't know. It was like, that's an idea. It's an idea.
Don't take anything off the table. Every idea is viable. I'm looking at the shed pictures right now. Jesus Christ.
Isn't it funny?
Although they're both, you know, both could be, you know, if you just put the door on that one right, I don't know that I would have more difficulty deciphering which is more dangerous.
Well, what I should do then is take pictures of the inside, because one has like the lawnmowers and the garden stuff, and the other one's like the roof's falling in.
You know, if you put the door back on that one, if you like hung two wreaths on each side, it would be like this cute little inviting little shed, and the other one would be the one that you consider the murder shed.
You know what's weird about the she murder shed?
Yeah.
That now that's what I think of every time I see it. Is that when I first moved in, like the nice shed, I would always make sure those doors are shut because I got a riding lawnmower and a push mower in there. Yeah. Now, I have 6-foot privacy fence, so it'd be kind of hard to steal my riding lawnmower. But
and
still.
Carol sleeps with an AR-15.
Right. Oh, yeah, that's so me. But but then I noticed the other shed, like that door used to kind of be shut.
Yeah.
And then I'd come out and it wasn't shut, or like it would be hanging in different ways. It'd be kind of half open, half not open, or all the way open. And then like one day, the nice shed, the doors were wide open. I'm like, okay, I know I didn't do that. So I think, with all respect to crackheads, but I think that I live kind of next to a sketchy apartment building. And I was wondering if they had jumped my fence looking for
crack
tools, maybe crack. It's like, I just need a good drill that I can sell for $10.
Yeah. Or could it be the Kansas wind? Or would it not? Would that not slide those doors open?
I don't think it would slide him. And the other one, it's heavy. Like, it's only hanging on by one little hint.
That's what makes it creepy. Other than that, I don't think it's that creepy.
I mean, today I came home, and I have this really nice pergola on the back of my house, and it has two little gates. And I came home at lunch to let my dog out. I came home after work, let my dog out, and the one gate's just hanging. I have no idea. But the wood split, so maybe it was just that time for the wood to split, because it was not windy here today. It would make sense if it was.
It was probably the anniversary of one of the murders. And then
it could be. And it's like, you know, I've been hanging on for a long time. I don't know.
The residual energy just of the body slamming against it as her head hit the ground right before he bludgeoned it with an axe. That just happened to relive itself today over lunch. While you were enjoying your hummus sandwich, that was going on in your murder shed.
But it is funny, isn't it? Like, because one's a nice regular shed you would see in a backyard of a house of this era. And the other one is the original 1940 shed that nobody tore down.
I love it. I would totally do something with it. It looks cool. I'd make it like a little studio or something.
I kind of just decided I have tons of respect for it and leaving the crutches out there and everything. But if you want to look at them, you can find them on my Instagram page.
Yeah, follow her at Carol Hughes, and you won't regret it. Murder shed and all. Let's go to our first story of the day. It says, hello, before I start, I just want to say how much I love y'all. I've not been listening for exceptionally long, but I love you. I also love the other podcast, The Dark Side of Wikipedia. I think everything you talk about is interesting. First, let me tell you the backstory. So my grandparents live in this house, and although it's small, it is genuinely nice. My only real problem with it is the ditch next to it and the green belt behind it. They always gave me the creeps. One day I was playing with some neighborhood kids, 4 or 5 of them. I was about 9 or 10 years old, and there was a tree on my neighbor's side of the ditch that completely covered one of the entrances to the ditch, except for about a foot or space near the ground. We were all standing playing in the dirt, 4 boys, 1 girl, and me. We decided I wanted to pull a prank, but it went so wrong. Now, starting the story, I got on the ground and pretended to see a ghost. I ran out and acted like I saw something there. Let us just say I lost some friends that day. We all made up and I apologized, so we're good now. After they finished yelling at me about the things I did not believe, like how I was going to get possessed or cursed, I got annoyed and went home for the day. I was feeling rebellious, so I stayed up until 12 a.m. Wow, she's so rebellious, she says. As soon as 12 a.m. hit, I got thirsty, like my mouth and throat were so dry. Obviously, I got up to get water, but as soon as I stepped into the kitchen, I got a horrible feeling. It got chilly, and I just overall freaked out. I grabbed a glass, got my water, and ran the fuck back to my room. When I got in my room, I heard a loud crash from the kitchen. I knew that no one was awake. My cat was sleeping on the foot of my bed. I was too scared to look, so I jumped in bed, shut my eyes, covered my ears, and pray to God that I'd be okay. Next morning, I woke up and saw bruises and scratches all over me, but they were obviously not cat scratches. I walked out of the hallway and saw my aunt cleaning glass. When I asked her what happened, she did not reply. She just looked at me. I looked into her eyes and saw pure horror. Her whole face was pale and her eyes were stuck in a shocked look. I decided not to pry and just helped her clean up. She was acting like she had seen a ghost. There's no doubt in my mind that she did. After cleaning, I went into my room to watch YouTube, and when I finally linked it all together, the chilly feeling, the loud crash in the middle of the night, the horrible prank I pulled, I knew I did not want to stay over that night, so I asked to spend the night with my best friend. After we ate dinner and played in her backyard a bit, we went into her room to watch TV. I decided I was going to tell her, so I did. I felt safe in her home, probably because her mother is a deeply religious woman. So she had crossed into every room. She had crosses in every room. My friend gave me a cross necklace and told me to keep it on all the time, especially when I slept. So, of course, I did. Eventually, everything went away until I lost the necklace. I started panicking. I thought that it was going to start happening again. The first thing I thought to do was to buy more cross jewelry. I should have known it was not going to work. Things came back stronger than the first time. It went on for months and I was scared, but I did not want to make them upset, so I did not do anything. Fast forward this year, my grandparents invited my friends and her mother to dinner. After they left, I got ready for bed, aka ready for torture. As I laid in bed checking the time, I stayed up until 4 a.m. and nothing happened. I'd stay up every night and nothing happened. I do not fully know what happened, but I do believe that they felt God's presence in the two ladies. I'd love your opinion. Sending love from San Antonio, Texas. Thoughts on what is going on there?
You know, I don't know. I mean, I wish I had the answer, but there's only speculation. But it's interesting to me that she got the necklace. I never know sometimes if it's a guy or girl who wrote in, got the necklace and then it stopped until the necklace is gone. Now, that's not a coincidence to me.
Sure.
So is it the necklace and the cross that's protecting you? Or do you believe that you have something on you that's protecting you? But, you know what I mean?
But at the same point, wouldn't just another cross work then? If it's the based on the belief system, it should be any cross, not just a specific one.
But maybe or maybe not. Because if you knew that you'd gotten the one from someone who is very religious and it worked.
Like if so it's now, blessed or something versus just one that you picked up at Claire's?
Yeah.
Okay.
I just don't know that, you know, one from Claire's. Well,
I don't know if everybody knows this, but every Wednesday you can see this. It's kind of fun. It's kind of like it's a routine that they do. But every Wednesday at 12:35 p.m., a priest walks into every Claire's locally, and they do a blessing.
I was wondering where you're going to go with that.
Over the crosses of at Claire's, and they sprinkle holy water on them. So actually, all the Claire's crucifixes are blessed.
Just so now, the more you know, that just in case, I have an actual rosary that was blessed by the Pope.
That's cool.
It's really easy to do, though. I mean, as long as you're in the square when the Pope is doing a service, and I went to Rome once, and I was there, and when he blesses the crowd, he blesses everything you have with you.
I bet that shit can kill demons,
right? So, I mean, I'm just saying, like, I might be willing to part with it.
That's interesting. It's like the people on eBay that try and say that they're selling pieces of the cross. But yours actually, you know, you can say the Pope did it, but yours is a hell of a lot more legit than, have you seen that?
Did he really? I mean, he's way up there.
Well, I mean, you were there. I mean,
I was definitely there.
Yeah. I mean, so yeah, I mean, you can say that was blessed by the Pope, but there's things on eBay where I don't know how you would even confirm such a thing, you know?
Now I have seen those reliquaries in Rome where they say it's pieces of the cross.
Now that's different. If it's like in a church or something, I don't believe they'd be on eBay
You know what? I could go out to my shed and I could get a piece of wood and say it came from a cross.
That's the thing. Yeah. I mean,
but sometimes I think that the belief in the cross itself, the way you got it gave you like this feeling of calm, and then when you lost it, it gave you a panicky sense because it'd been working. I would panic if that had been happening.
But is that paranormal?
And I got a cross and it quit happening and I lost a cross. Hell yeah, I'd be panicking.
Is that paranormal though, or is that psychological at that point?
That's the question.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Because, I mean, if you're looking at, I mean, take all religious aspects of it out of it. Let's say you had some object that you always had with you, no matter what it was, and it was suddenly gone. Wouldn't you still have that sort of panicky feeling? Although she was connecting it, though, to the activity leaving, too. So that connection being there, whether it was or not the reason it left, you know, and then why would it just automatically come back? Was that all that was holding it away? Maybe that's the fear, too.
Now, I'm not the most religious person, but I totally see how someone would believe that.
Sure.
Too. And yeah. I mean, you know, and nobody can ever give you a definitive answer to any of the whys in this world. But I do believe it's all about faith, whatever your faith is.
Yeah.
And if you believe that necklace is keeping you safe, I don't know. I think that gives it some power.
And that's, you know, the more I talk to, you know, investigators, exorcists, all that on the grave talks, that overall, I mean, not everyone has the same opinion, but I'd say more than not, the thought process is it is having faith, but it's not necessarily faith in a specific religion alone. Everybody has their religion. I mean, it'd be almost impossible to have two different religions simultaneously. Having their religion, whether it's very vast and like all incorporating, or it's, you know, Catholicism or this or that, but it's having the belief in the very specific faith. I should say faith, not religion. A faith of some sort in something. And without it, the procedures are not effective. But if you believe that essentially My Little Pony is the Messiah or is somehow going to be powerful enough to save you or helpful, that power, that belief in something does something, that act of doing something. And you have to legitimately believe it. But if, you know, it could be insert item here or insert, not item, but, you know, deity or whatever here.
I mean, and it's kind of translates into anything in your life. You know, I think that, you know, a lot of things, you know, illnesses, you know, a lot of that's a mental thing. You know, if you're going through chemotherapy, you know, man, it's beating you up.
Sure.
And it's like, it also becomes a mental thing. Like you have to power through it.
Is it positivity at the end? I mean, is it, you know, the more positive you can be? I mean, we know that positivity does wonders for the brain. It produces positive chemicals. It produces things that can fight disease. It produces all sorts of wonderful things. Could it be, is having faith in something such an ultimate exercise in positivity that it can yield powers like that against some sort of negative force that's coming at you as in terms of a haunting?
Well, and I think that people who are really dark and negative, I do think you kind of invite that in, you know. It's like negative just attracts the negative. And
sure.
So I do kind of think there is something to that.
Do you, and here's, let's take it even deeper. Do you invite it in or do you create it? Do you create it with your own negativity and these ghosts that haunt you being negative are really just part of you?
Yeah, I definitely think there's paranormal shit that I have no idea what that is.
Yeah.
But I also think there are people who are creating it themselves, that it's so dark that I think, you know, and some of it's psychosis as well. And we've talked about that.
Yeah. And I'm not saying that the person alone that's negative is experiencing it. I'm saying they're able to create it and themselves can experience it, but others can as well. So I'm not saying it's made up or all in their head.
Right.
I'm saying, do they literally conjure these things up with their own energy. It's not a demon. It's not a dead loved one or a dead human. It is that living person's embodiment of energy balled up over there in another form that they're unaware of.
You have me, everybody. Like, there's certain people you meet and you're attracted to them. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh my gosh, that person has the best energy and I just am attracted to that.
Yeah.
Then there's other people who are like, man, that person freaks me out.
Yeah.
And you just get that bad energy off of them.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think that's just a simplified version of that.
It can keep going and going and going.
But I do believe that I really do believe like the necklace, since he or she thought it was, you know, like, I hope it helps. I hope it helps. And then it did. Mm-hmm. You know, I think there's some power in that.
Yeah. If you believe in the necklace and yeah. I get it. Yeah.
I said it could have been, you know, Jesus the whole time. But to me, if that was the case, another cross would do the same thing.
That's the weird part about it to me is it the belief? Was she more believing in the object or as a, yeah, a source no. of power, or was it the belief in what the object represents? You know,
I am not saying I don't want to get any nasty ass messages on Instagram, but.
No, I'm not being anti-religion at all. I'm just analyzing the situation.
Exactly. Like, I have total respect for anybody's beliefs. Like, it's your life. You have every right to believe what you want to believe. But, you know, I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, it's just interesting to contemplate. So that was a very, I think, our record long discussion about a call, I think, for 2020 on the last newly released episode for 2020. But interesting, very interesting discussion. I that's one I've been having more and more, too, of like, what about this? What about that? And you just kind of keep going and see where it goes.
It's kind of the way 2020 is, though.
Exactly.
It's like, damn, this year sucks. It's getting better. No, it's not.
What if the ghost that's in your house refuses to leave? You know, it's that sort of shit, you know?
What if it shows up and I didn't know it was here?
Can you send the Navy SEALs in to remove the ghost? I don't think so. You know, it's just like, I don't know that
we'll
that would
work.
We'll
go to Claire's and get one of those blessed crosses.
Don't miss it.
Sure.
People stand up and they take pictures. It's like the ducks that walk into the fountain and Memphis at the Peabody Hotel.
Oh yeah, at the Peabody.
That's what it happens. A priest walks in. There's even a couple nuns usually too, and they all just walk in and then they bless the crosses at Claire's and leave. It's an amazing sight to see.
I have to get out my Pope Rosary.
That would have been. Of all, when I lived in Branson, you would have people, tourists all the time asking you about stuff. Like, are you a local? Yeah. Hey, what's good to see or something? When I was down at the little shopping center, I should have been like, you don't want to miss it. Every day at 2:35, the priests and the nuns come and bless the crosses at Claire's. And it was awesome. It was such a, and again, I'm not bashing religion, but it was a very religious town. I totally bet there would have been some people who'd be like, oh my gosh. And they like have a picnic and ham sandwiches waiting for the priests and nuns to come bless the crosses at Claire's. That would have been good. If you're listening in Branson, I know we have listeners there. Use it and then send me the video. Let's go to the caller. Hi, you are on the air.
Hi, Tony, Jenny, and possibly Carol. My name is Corin, and I'm from Northern Indiana. I have two stories. They both involve my son, who is now 20, but at the time he was much younger. For the first story, you need to know that my brother Brett unfortunately passed right before his 29th birthday, and this was in 2005. And about a year later, my son was about 4 and a half. And one day, I was setting up a long rectangular table in our living room to put up some breakable stuff. I don't know what I was doing. I don't remember. But I was putting some items up there. And this is different than the family room. And so I looked at my son, Tucker, and I said, honey, please do not go in that room. Don't touch anything. Everything's breakable. So mommy would like you to stay out of there. So a week or two passed, and I was talking to Tucker, and he was such a smart little kid. And I just asked him, something made me ask him. I said, "Hey, Tucker, have you ever seen Uncle Brett, you know, since he's passed away?" And he's like, "Oh, yeah." I said, "You have? Where have you seen him?" And he's like, "Oh, yeah. Remember you told me not to go into the living room where that stuff was? Well, I went in there, and Uncle Brett was there, and he said, hey, your mom told you not to come into this room and touch the stuff." He's like, "So I left." So I could not help laughing because that was so hysterical. My brother's still helping me from beyond. Fast forward, my mother passed away, and she had passed away in September of 2011. And this was more, I guess you could say, wintertime at the time we lived in Florida. So, but it was a Saturday, and it was in the afternoon, and he and I were watching, you know, some ghost hunting show. So after it was over, he looks at me and he says, "Hey, Mom, do you think Nanny watches over us? Do you think that, you know?" And I said, "Oh, absolutely. I totally believe that Nanny watches over us." And he goes, "Well, can we see, you know, can we test it? Can we see if she'll say anything?" I said, "Oh, sure." So just so you know, we had two dogs at the time. Also, our house, the way it was, the master bedroom had two double doors, and they were closed to our bedroom, but they were right off the family room. And it was a very sunny, no thunderstorms in the sky kind of day. So we're just sitting there. So I said, "Hey, Mom, if you're here, can you give us a sign?" And we waited maybe 4 or 5 seconds, if that. The next thing we hear is those double doors just shrieking as hard as they could. And the dogs start barking. And I'm sure I was like white as a sheet. And my son says to me, Mom, that was fun. Let's ask her again." I said, "No, honey, my heart can only take so much." So those were kind of two cute stories. I have other things. I've had dreams. But I love your show, and there's good things out there, and I thank you for the opportunity to share my story. Have a great day.
Thank you for sharing that story with us on the show. Thoughts?
You know, those are my favorite kind of stories.
The happy, uplifting ghost stories.
Well, and even when the doors start shaking, the way she's telling it, she's laughing.
Yeah.
I like that lady. I'd like to go hang out with her.
Yeah.
But like I love that the kid goes in the room and it's like, "Hey, you're not supposed to be in here." Mm-hmm. So I love the fact that there was a sense of humor involved with all of that. But I just love those kind of beyond the grave sort of, "Hey, I'm still around and I'm not totally gone."
Yeah. And just doing their...
Because when you lose somebody, it's such a... You feel so empty and so alone, and all you want is that little connection with that person. And to get that validation, I think, is everything.
And the validation of them as they were, too. Just the personality comes right through. It's not some like weird cryptic message. It's just like, "Hey, Mom said, don't go in here," you know?
I love that sort of thing. Yeah. And I totally believe that, you know, and I know people who have so desperately wanted that. I mean, go see Teresa Caputo at any show when they start happening again. But it was when I went to see her, it was very moving to me because I wasn't feeling that desperation to connect with anybody, but I have felt that before.
Yeah.
And I don't know how she does what she does, but just that feeling of that connection that she gives people. And, you know, so I always think with everybody who loses somebody, you want that Teresa Caputo moment, but maybe the moment is much more subtle.
Yes.
And you didn't pick up on it.
It's overlooked. You know? I think in many cases, and people are distracted or it's just not even on their radar to pick up on subtleties. And I think a lot of things can get missed. I was just thinking of something
like the shaking of the doors. Yeah. I'd be like, okay, that was too much.
Sure, sure.
Don't have to scare the shit out of us.
I was, I don't know why this made me think of this when we were listening to that call, but I was just thinking of, you know, loved ones that are alive right now, and where would they haunt when they're dead? And I was just thinking, it's funny because every time I seem to talk to my mom, and my mom is very much alive, but every time I talk to her, we usually, if we do this app called Marco Polo, and this is not an advertisement, but that's what we use, and we just go back and forth, almost every time she's in a graveyard talking to me, because she goes for walks all the time, which is good, you know, healthy, and, you know, keeps your, you know, mind going right now. In a graveyard, there's not usually anybody there. So she's always out walking through a graveyard. But I thought, you know, when my mom does eventually pass, if I had to guess, where is she going to be haunting? She's going to be haunting the fucking graveyard. The place that, like...
Then you're going to be like, is that you, Mom? Like, really?
Sir, and the graveyard she walks is where she's going to be buried. They have their plot there. So it's like...
Oh, that's weird.
Yeah, but it's a beautiful graveyard. It's like hills, rolling hills, and huge trees. And
about that.
It's really neat. I mean, to me, honestly, I've been to a lot of graveyards in my life. This is still my favorite graveyard, not just because it's the one I grew up playing in, but it is, I never knew how unique that was, that graveyard was, until I, you know, lived and left town. But it is, it's a wonderful, beautiful graveyard. But I could totally see that. I'll go there, you know, to visit, and I'll just go for a walk, and I'll probably feel her presence very much there with me in the graveyard. Not just because her grave is there, though, but because... she just loved it so much, you know, and she's loved that thing, that graveyard, since I was a little kid, and we'd go there and we would
that
collect.
That is so interesting to me.
When I was a kid.
Like, once I die, I really give no shit.
Yeah.
It's like, cremate me, beyond that, whatever y'all are comfortable with.
Yeah.
It's what you have to live with, not me. I'll be dead. But I mean, I never thought about having a connection with a cemetery like
if
that.
You go to your happy places, that's one of her happy places, and it's one of my happy places too. But it's silly. But when I was a kid, we would go there and we would collect hickory nuts, and we'd go crack them back at home. But there was tons of these huge hickory trees, so we go, we don't bring like a paper bag, and just get some hickory nuts and walk around the graveyard and look at the gravestones and learn, you know, learn as best you could about the people from what was written on the stones. And you kind of guess, and, you know, it was respectful. There was no, like, you know, anything. It was just, you know, don't walk on the graves and stuff. You know, if there's hickory nuts on the graves, don't get those ones. But it was just, you know, I don't know. It was a fun, happy fall memory as a child. And she still walks that place every day. And she listens to our show in the graveyard. So she's probably listening. She's probably listening to this right now in December, probably tearing up a little bit, going, you know, we had so much fun in that graveyard, and enjoying it. But it is. It's just a happy place.
Because I just never thought about having a connection to the place you would.
Most
be
people
buried.
Don't. Most never people don't at all. But she'd be one of the very few that would. So if there's anybody that's ever going to haunt that graveyard, it'd be my mom, because she has a connection to it in life, a lifelong connection to it in life. So it's interesting, you know. But anyway, I think that is what is going to wrap up this episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. Next 2 weeks, you get best of episodes, some bonus EPP episodes, new EPP episodes every week. Those are there if you want to get into new regular episodes. Become an EPP. Those shows are posted a couple weeks all the way into January, so you can just binge away as normal if you want to go ahead and do that. But for the final recording of the year 2020... motherfucker.
Thank God it's over.
I only hope 2021 yields better results than 2020. Any final words on the air for 2020, Carol?
Oh, I really shouldn't even say what I'd like to say about this year.
This is your chance. For the record, what would you like to say about, how would you like to bid 2020 adieu?
Seriously, I would just like it to F off. I am so over this year.
Yeah.
I just am. And it's like, I was telling somebody the other day, I'm like, it's just been so sad
yeah.
and tragic. And it's not just COVID. It's all of this stuff. It's like everybody, like I lost a job this year.
Yeah.
And I found a job, thank God. But, you know, it's just been, and that's just one little bitty example. But there's just been so many things that happened this year to so many people.
Yeah.
And I just look forward to 2021. And in my head, it's a fresh start. I don't know if that's real.
I'm like stealing this line from Jen, but I'm looking forward to feeling again, because it 2020 has made me feel so numb to so many things that when there's big things that pop up now, I'm just like, okay. And, you know, it's like more details. Okay, great. I understand it. But just the numbness is so there. And I miss this. It's not even spikes anymore. It's just like, holy shit.
Like, I love to travel. I love to go places. And I just, there's just so many things that have been taken away from so many people. And so many people lost important people in their lives this year. And, you know, so when we're talking about connections to loved ones, I mean, think about that. You know, there's so many people who went through a really horrific year. So, you know, when they do say we're all in this together, I guess we are, because it was a pretty shitty year for a lot of people.
Predictions for 2021.
I just don't know, because here's the thing. I want to get my hopes up.
Mm-hmm.
But then at the same time, after 2020, do you dare? But I just haven't really, you know, it's hard because a lot of the things you like to do, like I love to go to concerts and games at Wrigley Field. I don't know that I'd be comfortable with 38,000 people at Wrigley Field. You know, it's just, I think it'll take some adjustment after this year. And some, everybody's going to have to get back into it. I don't know.
I think it's an interesting prediction for the year. I think in 2021, we're going to hear a lot of stories coming into us from people with near-death experiences because of COVID, where they got really close. And, you know, some gateways have been opened, and some sensitivities have been realized and have now have come out. I think we're going to
just made me think of another angle on that. How many people lost someone?
Yeah, that too.
They weren't to say goodbye. And I wonder if
unfinished and goodbyes. I mean, I'm not trying to make light in any way, shape or form of any of this.
Oh, no,
but
that's really something.
It's just I'm just thinking, you know, 2021, what are we going to hear more about? Like this last year, I swear we heard more about the idea of people creating their own ghosts with their energy than any other year. 2021, what am I thinking I'm going to hear a lot of? And I'm just basing it on logic of what's going on in our world. And I mean, obviously, you have a lot of close to death and you have a lot of death. Unexpected, quickly, and before expected times, especially. And so, yeah, I think you're right. I think we're going to hear more of that stuff, too.
So. And ideally, I would like to hear some more common sense.
Yeah. Yes.
That's kind of got thrown out.
Yeah. As a whole.
It would be nice if we all kind of could meet in the middle again. And
it'd be a nice touch. Yeah. Just
that's what I would like to see happen.
I'd like to see the resurgence of facts and people accepting them and realizing what is opinion and what is fact. And you can have opinions, it's fine, but you can't have your own facts. And I'm hoping that we get more of that in the year 2021, but we'll see. All right, guys, next 2 weeks, like I said, EPP bonus episodes, they are brand new. They are always new, 52 weeks out of the year. There's 52 weeks in a year, I think, correct? Yes. Of course, some of our favorite episodes, classics over the last 8 years, you're going to get them over the next 2 weeks. And then we're back at the beginning of January with brand new episodes of Real Ghost Stories Online. Hey, we made it to the end of 2020. Who would have thought? And the thing is, we started talking about this stuff at the very beginning of the year, which is
it's so crazy
thinking we're doing the end of year episode and still just in the thick of it. All right, guys, for Jenny, for Carol, for Harper, for all of us at Real Ghost Stories Online, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thank you for listening in 2020 and allowing us into your homes. We'll see you in 2021.